VentureCast.
Entrepreneurs get worn out. It's so easy. So you need to surround yourself with people that are going to be cheerleaders for you and yell at you when you're not doing a good job and hold you accountable, because it's really easy to get worn out. We've been in business for 6 years, and I would be lying if I said there are not days where I wonder what would it be like to be a W-2 employee again, right? But you have to keep grinding, and not every day is awesome. It's not, on the outside, it looks really great, but you have to keep on grinding through even the tough days.
Welcome to Think Business with Tyler, sharing our methods and strategies for success. Join in on our conversations with business owners as we highlight their triumphs and detail how they overcame the challenges they faced while continuing to grow and scale their business. It's time to think life, think success, and think business with your host, Tyler Martin.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Think Business with Tyler podcast show. Our guest today is Daniel Felt. Daniel is the founder and CEO of Kira Home. This is a subscription-based maintenance business that originally started in Daniel's garage and now operates in 4 states. This episode feels like an entertaining MBA course for business owners. What we discuss in this episode is a tool that most people ignore, but is the secret to understanding your business and improving it. How to drive a great customer experience and what to do when tough times hit. They always do. I love having guests like Daniel on the show. He's an in-the-trenches entrepreneur that is following a game plan to grow his business. There are so many takeaways here that you can apply to your business. Let's talk with Daniel. Hey, Daniel, thanks so much for being on the Think Business with Tyler podcast show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tyler?
I'm doing really good, too. We're talking on a Friday, so I'm winding up for the weekend.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So, hey, I want to start out with a little bit about you, what you do now professionally, and then a little bit about you personally, if you can share it with the audience and myself.
For sure. Today, I am the CEO and founder of Kira Home. We are a home maintenance company based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, also service Denver. On a personal side, I am married. I have a almost 2-year-old son and another one on the way at the end of the summer. So growing a family and growing a business.
That is awesome. And congratulations on the second one, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome. That's so cool. Okay. Well, hey, what I wanted to ask you before I get into your company itself, what's your background? Have you always been running businesses? Is Kira your first business? Is your family lineage have a lot of business owners in it? What? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, my family became entrepreneurs by accident. My dad bought my mom a dog for Christmas in 1980, before I was even on this earth. And one day the neighbor's dog came over and they had a litter of puppies and grew up. My parents were very, very tight. Paycheck came in on Friday, and that was the day we bought groceries. I mean, it was the exact definition of paycheck to paycheck. And over time, my mom brought the puppies to the vet. She was talking to him, said, "We're not selling them." They were trying to sell them for $50 at the time. And he said, in next week's paper, increase the price. Try $350. She's like, "That is nuts." Well, she did it and they all sold like instantly. So people put a high quality on that price, right? Good isn't cheap and cheap isn't good. So over time, they built that business. I was very involved in the day-to-day of that business, watching the way that my parents treated customers, our sales process, the way they marketed, all those things. I remember as young as the age of 12, helping my parents come, you know, late March, April with taxes. And that was an awesome experience for me to see that. And so they went from breeding dogs, you know, kind of by mistake in the early 80s to today, they're, I would say, one of the most impressive breeders in the nation. They sold a puppy to every state. It's very difficult to buy a puppy for them because the waiting list is so long. And I think their price is about $3,900 a puppy right now. So,
wow.
Yeah. So saw a business go from, you know, hey, maybe this is going to work to, you know, hey, this is for sure going to be a, you know, my parents, my dad retired early. Now he works, that's their full-time gig. And it's a really cool operation, really awesome role models to watch my parents build that business. My dad worked full-time until a few years ago in town as a, you know, at a plant manager there. But my mom really built that business from nothing to an incredible out-of-your-home business.
What a cool story. So did that give you the fire seeing that someday I'm going to have my own business? I mean, is that something you always had in the back of your mind?
You know, growing up, I always wanted to invent something or create something. But my problem is I can't, if you like show me a picture of like a workbench, I can build that workbench, but I can't envision it without the picture. So that was always challenging for me. I remember having conversations with my dad. I got into horses at a young age. I would buy them for like market price that people were going to bring to a butcher. And I would train them and sell them to other 4-H kids. That was kind of my hobby. We were very fortunate to have some acreage. And so the horses ate grass for free all summer. So it was really no overhead, but I was training a horse for a lady. It was $300. And my dad asked, he's like, well, if she was going to board it somewhere, how much would that cost? I was like $300. I'm like, so she's boarding it here basically for free and you're also training it. So I learned a lot about value growing up, but for sure, you know, I've always said I'm really, really fortunate to grow up in a family where I always knew I was loved. I was encouraged to go out and do things. And any parent that's listening, you know, encourage your kids to go out and take a safe, you know, risk, right? Fail carefully. And I think it's okay to go and do that. And I was always loved. I was always, you know, confidently, I was disciplined as a kid. All these things were really, really good that I feel gave me the confidence at where I'm at today to go out and start a business. But a lot of education came into place. When I did start my company, I took out a reverse equity line against my house that I could use if I needed to. So there was a lot of little things that built me up to the point where I felt confident leaving a full-time job and starting Cura Home.
Yeah. I love that term, fail carefully. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you hear fail fast. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever heard fail carefully. That's a good, I like that angle of thinking of it that way. So Cura, what does that mean? Does that word have a meaning?
Yeah. So I didn't want to name this company Daniel's Home Maintenance. I always wanted it to be bigger than me. And my last name is Felt, and Felt's Home Maintenance kind of sounds really weird. So went to the internet. I was searching for words that meant to care for, and I couldn't really find anything. But then I did fall across Cura, if you would spell it C-U-R-A. And unfortunately, quite a few companies had already picked up on that. And so I changed the spelling to K-U-R-A, and Cura LLC was available in Minnesota. The domain curahome.com was available. I loved how symmetrical that was, and it just fit. And so I picked that up. I love that people see that word and they haven't heard it before. So they ask, what does it mean? So Cura in Italian, it means to care for, the C-U-R-A. So I changed the spelling, and that's what we do. We care for our clients' homes.
Yeah. And that's my next question. What exactly do you guys do? Because that's beautiful, the way you name the company.
Thank you.
And it ties into what you actually do.
Yeah, we primarily are, the main focus at our company is it's a home maintenance subscription. So we visit our clients' homes once every 3 months, typically. We have a few homes that are very high maintenance that we visit monthly, and we have a few more simplistic maintenance homes that we visit biannual, but the majority of our clients are set up on a quarterly visit. And we offer about 35 a la carte options for our clients. And from providing changing all your filters, cleaning the AC unit, dryer vent, changing smoke alarm batteries, we even do things so minor as like polishing your stainless steel appliances before we leave. But 35 items that you can pick in your home, and we come every 3 months and maintain everything in your home.
So how do you differentiate this between like a handyman service, for example? Like, is it because you limit it just to those 35 services? Is that the differentiator?
Yep. So you're picking and choosing those items. I think the easiest way to tell people is that we don't carry a hammer or a skill saw in our vans. We're not coming here. We're not the emergency call. We're following all manufacturers' recommendations to maintain the appliances in your home. So building a bench on the way, you know, for your entryway is not a manufacturer recommendation. So they're picking those items on, it looks like a report card for your home, and the items are on the left, and there's the column for each quarter. And we check the items that they select on the far left. And then as our technicians come, they check the box as they complete it and take a photo on that form on the further pages down on that document. So it's really, it's very specific, and we try to really pick items that it's yes or no. Did you change the filter? Yes or no. And that has really created a high level of customer satisfaction for us, because it's very simple. Yes or no, we did or did not take care of that task.
Very cool. So I know you're doing well now, but you obviously, like every business, has had some bumps, and you actually explored, I believe you had a division that went into the handyman space. Is that correct?
Yes, we did.
Can you kind of tell us the story behind that and why you ultimately decided to get out of that space?
Yeah, well, I can summarize it fast and say you can't be everything to everyone. But the longer story is we were servicing, today we service about 600 homes for routine maintenance. Then we have an air duct cleaning division that also takes care of, we do, I don't know, about 20 jobs a day for air duct cleaning. And it seems so natural and such a great fit to add a handyman division. And the weakness of our company is that no one Googles routine home maintenance. There's like 18 searches in Minneapolis, and there's 4 million people here. But handyman is searched a bajillion times. So We sent out, so we decided that we were going to try it. Let's just see how it goes. We sent out one newsletter. I hired a handyman and sent out one newsletter, and we were booked out 2 months almost instantly. Like, it was like by the end of the week, we were booked out. So my natural thing is like, well, we got to get another handyman, right? So two turned into like six really fast. And the problem with it is, and I think like a really good example is there are a lot of people out there, a lot of companies that they just do sheetrock. And it would seem so natural for the sheetrock company to also tape in mud. Like, why wouldn't you also tape mud? I mean, it's so, you literally, you're right there. And now that I ran a handyman company and failed, we launched that in February of 2021 and we closed it in November of the same year. So very, very quickly, is that it's so difficult to complete a job to the customer satisfaction in an amount of time that's profitable for a company. And there's a lot in that sentence. But if I punch a hole in the sheetrock here, right, and I want to fix it, as a homeowner, you would say, this can't be more than $100, right? It's a hole the size of a fist. Well, we got to come three times, you know? And so that travel cost and for a business was really expensive. So at the end of the day, with the rising of costs, the rapid inflation of costs in 2021 and dealing with customer satisfaction, we unfortunately grew too fast and we were not profitable. So we did roughly $424,000 worth of handyman work in that amount of time. However, our payroll and material costs were $408,000. So anyone who's ever looked at a P&L knows that we ran a very severe deficit on the handyman division. And so ultimately, I think craftsmanship is very hard to scale. And also you can't, if I ask you, Tyler, define what a handyman does, and we both wrote it down really quick and showed it, we would have two different things written down. And that was really, really difficult. So I respect the business owner out there that says, I'm just going to do sheetrock and I'm not going to tape in mud, because they can sheetrock really, really well. And taping mud is a completely different skill set, even though it seems like it would come hand in hand.
I feel there's such a big lesson here. I'd love to get your insight. How did you, so many business owners don't really have knowledge of their numbers, even if they have a CPA and a bookkeeper, they don't have knowledge of their numbers. When they do get them, they're 6 months later, 3 months later, 9 months later. How did you have the ability to be able to get your data so quick and then have the guts to say, man, it hasn't even been a year yet, but I can tell the direction we're going is not going to turn around. A lot of times we hold on to our losers. It's just, sometimes it's embedded in us. So there's a couple questions in there. One is, how did you get such timely data? Is that something that's built into you? And then two, what gave you the conviction to pull the string? Because you were getting sales.
Yeah, ultimately, a few big picture things is we do get our bookkeeper provides us with a P&L monthly. And I don't just throw that folder into my red folder that's done. I look at that, I print it out, I highlight, I ask questions, I go into QuickBooks. You have to analyze the numbers. And no matter what business you are in, you've got to analyze your numbers. You've got to look at it. You've got to make sure that money is going where it's supposed to be going in your business. And the margins are correct, right? Like, set the margins. We follow a kind of like a bucket system, a profit first mentality of, you know, money comes into a depository account and then you spread it out into five accounts from there. And so you start to notice these things very quickly when the numbers aren't adding up. On a very zoomed in method, I got to the point where each day the handyman would come back and they would come to the admin in the office and tell them the numbers. And they had three numbers. It was, how many hours did you clock in for? How much money did you spend on materials? And what did you bill the customer? And that chart automatically, what had to happen is we had to pull in, if it was 8 hours, it had to be that in 8 hours, they had to complete at least $748 worth of work. And if it was, if they surpassed that, a green light would flash. And if they didn't, it would turn red, the cell would. And there was too many red days. And so we had to get down to a micro level, right? So all of a sudden you're looking at this and it's like red day, red day, red day, green, red. And it's like, you guys, 20% of the time we're profitable and the other 4 days of the week we're not. This is not going well. And you pull your entire team in to that and you show them why. And you keep on trying to change things. We tried switching these guys on commission. We tried a day rate. We tried salary. I mean, when I'm telling you, like, we're fixing, changing this stuff up crazy. My guy in HR is like, I can't even keep up with how fast you're changing the payroll, you know, because we're just trying to make it work. And at the end of the day, it didn't. So we really got down to the point where we were on a daily basis looking at, was today profitable? And that was how deep we dove into that, because if you wait till the end of the year, all of a sudden there goes $500,000. And you're like, okay, that doesn't work out. So you got to focus on your numbers at the bare minimum. as a business owner, I would never let my numbers go more than a month without diagnosing them. And we were looking at it on a daily basis.
Wow. I'd love to hear you say that. So in regards to your like secret sauce, I guess I would call it, what do you kind of call your secret sauce? Is it that you know your numbers? Is it that, I mean, what would you attribute to your success?
Yeah, I would for sure say that we're extremely focused on the customer experience.
Okay.
And what that looks like. And there's so many details that go into it. I'll give you one very small example. And that's that when my guys come and they ring your doorbell or knock on your door, they take about 5 to 6 steps backwards just to make you feel welcome, right? And they're always smiling. And I tell my guys, there's an example of a girl that works at my gym. And when I walk in there at 5:15, I know she works on Tuesdays, she always smiles. The guy who works the rest of the week doesn't. I've never had deep conversations with these people, but for some reason to me, the girl who works on Tuesdays is so much nicer than the guy who works for the rest of the week. And the only difference is that she smiles. And so just these little things on the customer experience, the way they're notified, the way you give a bid, the way you confirm the price, all these things, we're really, really hyper-focused on what does that customer experience look like. And I would say that is our secret sauce, but also it's consistency. Entrepreneurs get worn out. It's so easy. So you need to surround yourself with people that are going to be cheerleaders for you and yell at you when you're not doing a good job and hold you accountable, because it's really easy to get worn out. We've been in business for 6 years, and I would be lying if I said there are not days where I wonder what would it be like to be a W-2 employee again, right? But you have to keep grinding, and not every day is awesome. It's not, on the outside, it looks really great, but you have to keep on grinding through even the tough days.
Yeah, there's so much wisdom there. So it sounds like you have a process for hiring really good people. I'm gleaning from that. What is your hiring process? What do you do to bring on quality people?
Yeah, for us, we try really hard to word our ads in a way that we're attracting people that are interested in a very customer-focused area. We prefer that someone coming on has no experience, and so that we can train you in on the way that we do things. So with that, even on during the interview, we ask a lot of very specific questions. And one of them, for example, would be of like, if I were to ask you how you define integrity, how would you define that? Right. And everyone has their version of that, but usually it's something along the lines of doing what you say you're going to do. Right. And then I would ask, if one of your friends walked in right now and I said, hey, would you say he's a man of integrity? And would they say yes? And you know, of course, 99% of the time, everyone says yes. And so then you say, I'm looking for a person of integrity. I'm looking for someone who, when they say they're going to do something, they do it. And is that going to be you? If we work together, is that going to be you? And in our code of conduct that they sign, it even says things that we will not take shortcuts. We will not skip. We will not check about a task that was not completed, no matter the time of the day or the stress of the job. We will not take shortcuts. And so the people are committing and they're signing a contract that says, I'm going to give you my best. And that's for the customer. So I think it's the way you word your ads and the way you interview people, but also we don't just let things, you know, go on and on and on. If someone's late, you know, we call them out on it. Hey, what's going on? You know, why were you late today? Was there traffic? You know, did you wake up late? Like what's going on in your life? And I think just letting people know that you're actually tracking and measuring this. We also have a whiteboard up in our warehouse that some would call it publicly shaming, but it also is publicly faming. If you get an upsell, it's on there. You're late, it's on there. You get a call back, it's on there. It's all these measurables. And the entire company can see it. And it's the pecking order is really intense, because they'll stand there and look at that and say, hey, you know, Jacob, why were you late 2 days in a row last week? And they're like, well, you guys don't understand, you know, this is this. And all of a sudden the problems really kind of fix themselves out, because anything you track is statistically going to improve. And so just tracking these things is very, very important.
Right. So it sounds like, if you do have a poor performer, you do have someone that's not going along with the program, do you find that they kind of raise their hand and elect themselves out of the ecosystem, or do you have to encourage them out of the ecosystem? How does that play out usually?
Usually what it takes is we sit down in my office and we have a conversation. And my approach is always, there's two sides to every story, and there's always something that someone's going through that you don't understand. And so it's asking a bunch of questions. You know, hey, from my standpoint, I've noticed you've been late twice this week. What's going on in your life? And then, you know, explain that, you know, for us, we're trying to run a consistent business. You're wearing the Cure Home brand on your shirt there. How do we provide that high level customer service? It's really difficult when you're late. How can we fix it? And so it's just having those conversations. And sometimes it gets a lot deeper and there's an issue that can't be fixed. And it's, hey, unfortunately, I need to write you up for this. And it's taking things very seriously, saying, I'm going to write you up. I want you to sign this document that you and I talked about this. And here's the corrective action that we're going to take. in 15 days or 14 days, whatever it is, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a conversation about this and to see if it's been resolved. And if people are late the next day, they usually know that, hey, you know what? You're just not employed here anymore, right? But, or they fix it. So it goes from that moment, you're at a T in the road. They're going left or right. Either they're going to fix it or become a better team member, or they're gone.
So many business owners have a hard time dealing with what you just said you do. Oftentimes it gets very frictional. It kind of becomes passive aggressive. They want to say what they want to say, but they can't say what they want to say. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. Do you think part of that success is the fact that you do make it measured? And so it takes away the element of it being personal. It's more about doing what needs to be done. And if you can do it, I love you. I want you to be here. If you can't, it's not the right fit. Is that what you would attribute to the process?
Most definitely. Stick to the facts. Don't say, you know, hey, you're really making me mad because you're late. It's so much easier to say, hey, you know, according to the employee handbook, we've asked you to be here at 7:15. I've noticed that you're consistently clocking in at 7:25. Therefore, you're 10 minutes late. How do we correct this issue? You know, now it's, you're not saying like, you're giving me a headache. And staying cool, calm, and collective. When you walk in, you know, how I sound on this podcast is how I talk to everyone. You know, I'm very level-headed. You can't let your emotions get involved because people are going to come and go. No one cares about your business as much as you do. It's your baby, right? And so you have to get these people to buy in. Why do we care? Why is it important for me to be on time? And for some people, they don't even realize it until you explain it to them. They didn't grow up the way you did, or they don't value the same things that you do. And some people don't value being on time. And if you tell people, I tell people during an interview, one of the most important things to me is that you show up on time. That's like 50% of your success for the day is just get here on time. If you want to respect me, I would really appreciate that. I'm like, okay, I guess. So when you show up late, you're disrespecting me. And I'd love to have a mutual respect relationship here.
Yeah, that's great. Now, does a lot of this relate back to like company core values and vision and your mission of the company? Do you feel, and is that something that you bring up to the team and it's what drives your culture, or are these all independent pieces in your mind?
You know, to me, I think a lot of it stems from growing up. I grew up in a family of six kids. So I, you know, had five siblings, and my dad really helped us. He treated our family like a company kind of. I remember when I was about 8 years old, running out barefoot, and he had an old school punch machine where you had to punch in and it stamped the time card. And we had to be clocked in by 8 a.m. in the summer. And when you're 8 years old, that feels pretty early. But these things and watching my parents treat customers, no matter who you are, you know, no matter what you did, they treated all these people with respect and dignity. They didn't care what car you showed up or what position you were at a company. They treated these people like that. And then I was really fortunate to work for my brother's company, and he ran a window cleaning holiday light company, and watching that the people who have these values were really, really successful. I just felt that, hey, this is who we want to be. So for us, our mission is to provide expert home care to the nation with integrity while giving back to the communities that we serve. And there's so much that goes into that. But I think, you know, the biggest thing is serving with integrity, right? And that's serving your client's home. And so just telling people that this is who we are, you continuously train that in, you let people know that this is how we do it. And they buy in. People want to naturally fit in to where they're at.
Hey, this is Tyler. Oftentimes, business owners and entrepreneurs hire me because they are stuck. Their business is stuck. They've hit a wall and can't take their business to the next level. And they're frustrated. When I grew my second business, it took me a while to get the pieces to fit. But once they did, the business scaled fast. In fact, it grew to $25 million in annual revenue and ultimately sold for 8 figures. So I decided to put together a roadmap for scaling a business. I want to help stuck business owners that want to scale but are having challenges. It's called the Scale in 5 Roadmap, and you can get a copy by doing the following. Text the number 55444 and type the word scale and hit send. A copy of the roadmap will be sent to your inbox.
You continuously train that in, you let people know that this is how we do it, and they buy in. People want to naturally fit in to where they're at.
Yeah, that's a great point. One thing I want to ask, last thing on the employee side of things, you do profiling when you hire people too, right? You use a profiling system where they fill out a test and then they're rated. I'm assuming you find that somewhat accurate. If you continue to do it, do you feel like it's a good read on people, and does it improve your accuracy of hires?
You know, when it comes to hiring technicians, what I have found is that it's really great to have a large variety. because different people excel at different things. With that, I'm not an expert at DISC, but what I have found is it makes it a lot easier to work with people when you know the things that motivate or demotivate them. So getting to know them on that level, on that personality trait, is really great. For technicians, one of the parts, especially when we're rapidly hiring, because then we'll just have to save time, we'll invite 5 or 6 or 7 people in at a time. Just filling that out is part of the process to see how fast you fill it out. Are you taking this seriously? Is this, because I've actually had people where they stand up, they go, I'm not doing any of this, and they walk out. Okay, you're not a systems and process guy, right? Like, you know, so I'll see you later. So I would say for office personnel, when it really comes down into strategy, that's really, really great to know what they are. But for technicians, you need a large variety. You need chiefs and Indians, you know, people who are willing to lead really strongly. You need people who are willing to follow. And some people, when they come on with us, we know that they're always going to be like that second, like, helper position on a crew. And that's just fine. We need all types of people.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I used to do one for salespeople. It was a different profiling system. It wasn't DISC, but I almost felt like it was a buying signal, is what I used to call it, in terms of their level of interest in the role. If they got it back to me right away, it was a virtual one. They didn't have to come to the office, but if they got it back to me right away, it told me they were genuinely willing to invest time and do it. And that usually worked out. It usually ended up being someone good if they were really responsive. So it sounds like you kind of use it the same way. Now, you brought up a phrase. You said processes and systems. It sounds like your company is really driven by processes and systems. Can you take me through a couple that you think are really foundational to your company and what makes you guys more efficient?
Yeah, most definitely. One thing that blows people's minds is that we have a technician team meeting every single morning. With that, there is a 45-day calendar that we follow. And if I told you that, hey, every 45 days, we're going to relearn how to clean refrigerator coils, you'd probably say, there's no way that I am going to learn this. But I promise you, when you go through that training manual and it's telling you what, why, when, how, and commonly asked questions or conversations to have with the customer, you forget those things after 45 days. So we're going through each process. I mean, we have 35 items that we maintain. And every morning we go through that with the technicians. We have a little TV in our training room and we pull it up, that training document. So everything that we do, if we ever made a mistake, it goes in that document, right? Have we pulled out a refrigerator and scratched the floor? You bet. Now in the training document, and every 45 days, the entire company is trained on this is the proper way to clean a refrigerator coil, and here's how to not make a mistake. So that has really been beneficial. That's been the largest thing for us, is having that training thing. Another thing that we do is we use a software that automatically follows up with customers. That helped us increase our close rate from 23% up to 43% by automatically following up. And then it'll send a text message or an email, a pre-recorded voicemail. And then after about 4 days, it dings our client care coordinators to send another phone call. And just that alone increased our close rate. We didn't change our script or anything like that, but just pinging the customer a few more times automatically really, really helped our business.
Yeah, it blows my mind when you drive your business around processes and systems, how much you can actually improve the results. It gets you out of the business, so you're not having to worry about as much stuff. Plus, your customer, by the way, gets a consistent experience.
Most definitely.
Yeah, very cool. Hey, I know you've tried different marketing channels, but I've heard you say that one of your best ones is actually social media. Can you share how you got such engagement through your social media and how you utilize it?
Yeah. We do several things. We consistently post, which, you know, I'm sure everyone says they do, and that's awesome. But the content that we post, we really try hard to educate clients that there's something that needs to be done here in your home. And we approach that understanding that 98 or 99% of people are going to say, great, thank you for teaching me how to change my dishwasher filter. I'm just going to do it myself. However, that 1% is going to say, I never do that. I'm not going to do it. What else am I missing? I need to hire you. And exactly. So that's something that has worked really, really well for us. Additionally, one thing that we've done is really taken advantage of social media influencers on different platforms. Some of these people have 100, 120,000 followers, and we'll go, and it's more affordable than you think. A lot of times we end up doing a trade of service with them, and we'll come and maintain your home. And we just ask them, we want you to give your honest, most genuine feedback to your customers. How was this experience? What did we do and how was it? And that has really helped us increase our just vision, you know, our popularity all over the place. We've actually gotten to the point where Facebook is now paying us on a monthly basis because of the amount of people that are watching our reels. So all these things, I'm like 80 years old at heart and I'm not super into it. I'm not out there doing the TikTok dances, but it works really, really well. Everyone, for the most part, is on some sort of social platform and answering people's questions between blogs, content that you're creating and posting, answering a question that they maybe didn't even know they had is really helps people stay engaged and has consistently helped our presence on our newsletter and social media accounts grow.
Yeah, I love that. I never really had thought about on your scale, I was using influencers. I mean, that's kind of genius. I always, for some reason, I always think influencers kind of a larger segment. It's cool the way you're utilizing them.
What's amazing about it is when you dive into influencers, they all have their little niche, right? And so there's some that are like, for example, there's a gal in Denver that's like focused on Denver food. Okay, well, people, you can imagine everyone who follows this person is all about Denver food. So we can now work with you and say, hey, you're all about food. Let's show people how to maintain your kitchen because that's where you make food. And, you know, so we try to like spin it just a little bit to work with people. We are not working with a person who's like, I'm a CrossFit champion and blah, blah, blah. We can't really connect with those people. But there's so many niches and genres within the social media influencer world that I believe it's going to be a very large part of the future for most companies that want to grow and scale.
Very cool. So now I want to talk about what we have in store for the future for the company. I believe you're getting into franchising. What's driving you to want to go into franchising? What's your dream here?
Yeah, for me as an individual, if you ask, you know, if I was, you know, 65 and we're sitting on the back deck enjoying retirement, if you said what was successful, you know, for you, I would say that I was able to set up passively income streams, right? Passively income. And so I don't want to put money into the stock market and just say, set it and forget it. I really enjoy being involved in growing things, creating systems and processes. And at Cura Home, we have about a 600-page manual on how to do everything. You want to answer the phones at Cura Home. Every single question that's ever been asked has been documented. And then it's stated in there the way that we want to answer that question for the customer. So we've actually tried to open different locations. Currently, we operate in Minneapolis and Denver. We've had other locations open. However, when you don't have someone that has skin in the game and boots on the ground, it is very, very challenging to manage that, like a technician from 1,000 miles away. And I'm sure that someone else could do it a lot better than I can. But for me, I'm only willing to and able to put so much time into, you know, there's only so much time in the day. So for the fact that I believe we have systems and processes and a recurring revenue model in place, we've also received inquiries from all over the country, people wanting to buy into our system. And so meeting that demand and knowing what we have in place, we felt that franchising was the best item to put in place. And I have learned a lot about franchising. There are a lot of legal loopholes to make sure that you're in place, but we have everything in place. And I believe that we will have our first FDD signed in a couple of weeks here. It's a very long sales process, but we will have one signed very close.
That is so awesome. I can hear though, when you talk about all the infrastructure you've created, I mean, you can help someone with kind of a one-stop shop, set up the right culture, have the right training programs, you've got manuals, you've got even down to team meetings, how you do your 45-day training process. I mean, all that infrastructure, how to utilize influencers, that's usually what creates so much value in the franchise because people can just come right in and be successful. So it sounds like you guys are off to a great start. And I'm rooting for you. I hope you get that first one. Because if you get the first one, then you can get 100 or however many you want.
That's what I've been told, Tyler. So I'm very excited to get that first one going. And I think the gentleman who we've been working with is going to be an absolute rock star. So it's a really exciting time for us at Cura Home.
Now, are your clients, are they all on a subscription service or is it just as they need you?
Yep. So it's set up where we're going to visit every 3 months organically, but you're not locked into any kind of contract.
Got it.
Naturally, people move or maybe your job changes. So we'd hate to be the company that says, hey, you have to fulfill the year or anything like that. We have a very, very high retention rate. We still service customer number one that we signed on in August of 2016. So, and I think it's actually to our advantage because you never have to renew your subscription. So sign on, you can cancel anytime. And actually that seems to have a higher retention rate than people that feel that they're locked in or have to renew for another year.
Yeah, that's a sweetheart model because you kind of get, it's maybe not guaranteed recurring revenue, but it's as close as you can get without any friction of renewal or any process of having to re-sign up. That's awesome. That's a great model. Hey, I got one last question for you before we wrap up. I always like to leave with some type of life or business tip that if you can share one with us that we can apply to our lives. Does anything come to mind?
Yeah, most definitely. I would say a life hack that I feel I've taken advantage to. This year, I have a goal of listening to 52 different books. And over time, you can increase the speed. And I believe I'm on like book 22 right now. It's about the 22nd week of the year. And never stop learning. You know, driving around, things like that, it's amazing how much time you can find. And listening to audiobooks, it's an awesome thing. You pick a little nugget out of each one. I strongly believe that I'm where I'm at today because I've always had a hunger to continue to learn. And every single person that you meet, they know something that you don't know. You got to ask the right questions and pull that out of them. So maybe they've written a book. Maybe it's someone across the table from you. Never stop searching and be hungry for that information.
I love that. I'm always fascinated when I'm interviewing entrepreneurs such as yourself. There's always, almost always the theme of they consistently read or listen to expand their knowledge. So I love hearing that. By the way, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you said 22 books. Any one of those 22 stick out that you can share with us?
Yes, I have a few here that I would highly recommend. I love The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. That'll make you want to kick a door down. There's a ton of them. Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss can help just about anyone negotiate things. But yeah, I could tell you a ton. But if you want to feel motivated today, go read or listen to The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. And if you don't want to kick a door down and take over the world at the end of that, I don't know if anything will help you.
Yeah, awesome. I love that one. Okay, cool. Hey, your website is KuraHome.com. I'm going to spell that. That's KuraHome.com. I'll put that in the show notes at thinktyler.com. Is there anywhere else that you'd like people to go to if they want to reach out to you or talk with you?
Yeah, if you want to connect with me personally, I'm very easily found on LinkedIn. That's danielfelt.com. If you're into all the social medias, we're doing all the cool things on there. So follow us on any social media platform. We'd love it if you subscribe to our newsletter or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. We'd love to connect with you.
Thanks, Daniel. You are an awesome guest. I'm excited about your franchising direction you're going. I think you're going to be highly successful. I can tell you're just a great guy and you got a great business. So thank you for spending your time and be sure to come back. When you do have some franchisees, come back and let's talk about it and have fun. Just talk about that world.
Most definitely. Thank you, Tyler.
All right, man. Have a great one.
Yep.
That's all for this episode of Think Business with Tyler. But we have plenty more resources to help you in your pursuit of business excellence on our website at thinktyler.com. If you'd like to be featured in a future episode of the show, feel free to reach out to us on social media at think_Tyler. We look forward to helping you think life, think success, and think business.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electrocast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electrocast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, The Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Oh, welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the chair? No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric acid.